This episode of Earl Grey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek FM at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org.
Hi, this is Robert O'Reilly. My name is Gowron. Honor to you and your house. You're listening to Trek FM.
T.O. Greyhawk.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Earl Grey, Trek FM's dedicated podcast to the next generation. I'm your host, Richard Marquez, and unfortunately, Lee and Amy are both out. I think Amy's on vacation and Lee's on some away mission somewhere else. But fear not, I am not alone. Here with me is special guest, Justin Ozer. How you doing, Justin?
Hi, Richard. Doing great today. Glad to be here.
Awesome. It seems like every time any of us are gone, you're coming on now, and you might as well be like the super reoccurring guest.
Thanks. Well, I know you have other people on too, but yeah, I've enjoyed being here, and this is my fourth time. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. And I actually enjoy listening to you, dude.
Oh, thank you.
Very, very informative you bring to the show, or lots of information you bring to the show as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, a different kind of topic today, though. So we'll see how that information comes in handy or not.
Yeah, definitely. So as Justin just mentioned, we're going to, trek into new uncharted territory for Earl Grey 2.0. We're going to try a rewrite. Or at least rewrite or create a fifth TNG movie. So this will be very interesting because we're going to do this on the fly. We got a couple ideas on what we would like to see. And that's great. I'm not too, I don't know about you, but I don't do many rewrites in my own head.
I don't tend to do that, that kind of thing either. And this is different because when I've been on before, there's, you know, an episode or a set of episodes to review or a character to think about. But I just wanted to talk a little bit about what we're doing. So we're going forward and trying to write what we would like to see or some ideas of what we'd like to see for a fifth TNG movie. So assuming that Nemesis was a financial success, let's say maybe Amy got a hold of the USS Imzadi, a time ship from the 29th century, had a temporal incursion into 2002, made Nemesis a financial success, and Paramount can't wait for our ideas for a fifth TNG movie.
I love it. And she's going to love that too. She's going to absolutely love that. You know, I really like Nemesis. Yeah, it wasn't the best one, but you know what? It was good enough to, at least for some people to see. I mean, there was action and drama and, yeah, at least there wasn't conflict between characters. it was Picard, in a sense, you know, messy with Picard.
Yeah, I'm not that much of a fan of Nemesis, and you guys have talked about it otherwise, but we're going to assume everything's happened up to the point of Nemesis. There's another movie we're making, let's say maybe to come out in 2004 or 2005, and we're going to see what that alternate timeline might look like.
Where do you want to begin? Do you want to do it after Nemesis, or do you want to do Star Trek IV and time travel?
Well, you know what I was thinking Richard, maybe just to set the expectations, I don't expect that we'll, you know, have like a complete movie by the end of this episode. What I wanted to do was to kind of throw out some ideas. I have some ideas, you'll have some ideas. Maybe as we're going along, we'll merge them or we'll go off in different directions. And then also, of course, it would be great if people in the Babel Conference or on Twitter tell us what their ideas would be for a fifth movie. So maybe I'll just start things off here. So, you know, one of the things that I would love to see in a fifth TNG movie, since we see in Nemesis that Riker is getting a captainship for the Titan, would it be to see the Enterprise E under Picard and the Titan under Riker going forward with an exploration mission to see those kind of two crews together. You'd probably have to introduce some characters that are on the Titan, but I'd like to see them kind of working together. And that's something maybe a little bit different than we've seen in some other movies. Another thing that I really would want to see in a fifth movie is to have some involvement for Q, because I love Q as a character, and I think it's a shame that he never popped up in the movies. One of the things that I was thinking of as I was thinking of ideas here is that in the episode Q Who, Guinan and Q have this adversarial relationship. There's not any kind of explanation about it or what happened. I'd like to see both of them and some kind of explanation for what happened, for their animosity that's apparently 200 years old by the time of that episode. So something related to that, maybe something that the Titan and Enterprise E find on their mission of exploration that harkens back to that conflict, something like that.
You know, when I was thinking about this, I actually was thinking maybe we could actually, depending on where it was on when the movie would be created, obviously now they're too old. early as I think they are. Unless they really want to CGI everyone, I don't know if everyone would be comfortable with that. But like, I just think that they should have like a multi-crew sort of thing. Yeah, I agree. You have the TNG cast and crew and whatnot. And also on top of that, maybe the Deep Space Nine crew, maybe on or maybe not all of them, because obviously we see Benjamin Sisko leave with the wormhole aliens, or the prophets, whichever one you choose. And, you know, the same thing goes with maybe someone from the Voyager crew as well. I mean, maybe I was thinking like a deep space assignment. Definitely something with the Titan is what I was thinking as well. And also the Enterprise E as well. Maybe the Titan gets into trouble and they send out a distress call. And maybe it's Deanna that's sending this distress call. Apparently that's a hard word to say. And you know, it's and then of course, you know, those mixed feelings that Worf has, and it, you know, Worf's the first officer is what I'm assuming, and they're and he's pleading the case that let's go out there and go get them. Well, there's like you said, there's some kind of omnipotent, maybe Q, maybe someone else, I don't know, someone omnipotent or something like that, that's causing these problems, that we would have someone that like that would have experience with this omnipotent being, like the prophets or something like that. So send someone like Kira when she's like a priest or something like that. And obviously it's a deep space assignment, so you want to send someone from Voyager or something like that. I don't know. Maybe they incorporate the other series is what I was thinking. A fifth TNG. Yeah, it would be like a multi-cross Star Trek universe sort of movie, but that's what I was kind of thinking. But I mean, at the same time, I really want a fleet battle. And it's funny we mentioned this, because I think I want to say 3 or 4 days ago on a group on Facebook, I saw someone post about what would another TNG movie look like, or what would you like? And I really wished I would have read those comments, because that would have been really good. But like, one of them wanted a really, really big fleet battle. And we're talking about like those fighters that you see in the beginning of where Angels Fall. And oh my gosh, like, I mean, he was so graphic. It was like 3 or 4 paragraphs of it. And then he got to the ships and everything. And it was incredible. I mean, I could see it all in my head. I'm like, oh, wow, that sounds awesome. But of course, that's all he wants to see.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you about another idea that I had. So as I was thinking about how you might incorporate Q into it, I think one of the things would be maybe, you know, the Titan, let's say, encounters another kind of all-powerful continuum. I'll borrow something from the Voyager relaunch books. Let's say an Omega continuum that's mm-hmm. just as powerful as the Q continuum, and really doesn't like the, you know, the Titan or a Starfleet ship going out to a certain point. They feel, you know, in some way like they need to, I don't know, test the crew, or that for whatever reason they're attached to, you know, the people or the systems that are there. And I would imagine some kind of conflict between that continuum and the Q continuum, and maybe the original conflict that you had between Guinan and Q had to do with, you know, some kind of dealings that Q or the Q continuum had with Guinan's people, and that she was somehow able to bring in this other continuum on her side those couple hundred years before, and that's why they have such an adversarial relationship. So it's kind of bringing back that kind of relationship. I don't know, that I was just thinking out loud about it.
No, that's fine. Hey, that's what we're here to do, rewrite or create or generate ideas so everyone else can. Maybe we can even do it as like a Facebook event or something like that. You know, someone does the plot, another person, you know, keeps on going, and, you know, like one of the, what was it? We did not too long ago. I don't know if you were there for it. I think it was 2 years ago or a year ago, where each person comments like a sentence or two, or a couple words, like 3 words or something like that, to do a story. And oh wow, that thing was incredible. you know what? That would be fun to actually read that whole entire thing. I mean, obviously edited out the, because I know I did a couple dirty jokes on there too. but like, it would be fun to just like read the whole entire thing from beginning to end and just see how funny it sounds. But yeah, it really was funny. But like, so, you know, you bring up Guinan, and I'm wondering how, for a species that gets annihilated, I'm assuming annihilated. Probably
except
annihilated.
Except for some survivors. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah, except for some survivors. Yeah. Where do these powers come from, or why does Q, I guess, can't just like, you know, snap his finger and wipe her off the earth? You know what I mean? Like, is it because of her age? Is it because she acquires these powers? Does she learn? Because actually, that's very interesting to bring a story, like an origin story for Guinan. And I really, you know what, in thinking about it, I really wish they would have done something for her in the TV series, maybe an origin story of some sort to explain why Q just doesn't, you know, erase her from existence from the get-go.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question, and we really, for her species, the Elorians, we really don't know too much except they're listeners and they have some kind of power. So to see that would be great. I mean, and I think that's one of the things they haven't even, I mean, they've addressed so many things in the Star Trek novels. That's something they haven't even talked about in the Star Trek novels for whatever reason. They've never gotten into Guinan's origins or her species powers or the origin of the conflict between her and Q. So I just love to see that explained, and to have it explained in some big story in a movie would be great.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, I particularly enjoy watching something like that, because then, I mean, it is Whoopi Goldberg. I'm sure that would come with a big price tag to do a movie like that. But like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, maybe it's too late now. Maybe they should have done in the TV series.
Yeah. Well, remember, alternate timeline where we can have anything happen at that time.
That's right.
After Nemesis.
That's right.
But because, oh yeah, it would be really hard to do something like that now. Yeah, so I mean, I'm throwing out some ideas about Q and Guinan, and you threw out some ideas about like DS9 and Voyager crew. I mean, that's an alternate way to go, and I would,
I mean,
like
it doesn't
to
have to be
thing.
The entire crew. I'm just saying, like, one or two characters, maybe, if that, just to help them out, like a guide or something like that. I mean, especially obviously a Voyager. I mean, I don't know how much Kim would be any good. Or maybe he's still an ensign in this movie or something like that. Still, I don't know. Maybe they promote him to lieutenant.
It's got to be promoted to lieutenant. Hey, they promote him to lieutenant in the book. So I'm going to say by a fifth TNG movie, he's a lieutenant.
Finally.
Yeah.
Because that guy should be a commander or something like that, based on how much crap he's gone through.
Yeah, the other idea that I had would be that, you know, by this point, Sisko's come back from the Celestial Temple, and he's the commander of DS9. And by this point, they're recovering from the aftermath of the Dominion War. And, you know, he's going to kind of go out on a mission of exploration, maybe to the Gamma Quadrant, and maybe there's some kind of involvement with the Enterprise. I mean, I would have loved to have seen some element of DS9 or its characters in the movie somewhere.
Yeah, that would be kind of nice, wouldn't it? Some kind of... I really think that they should have just done a movie or something like that. They did 7 seasons. I mean, why not? I mean, you did it for TOS. Or I'm sorry, no, they did not have 7 seasons. Sorry, guys. But, like, it's just... with 7 seasons for, you know, Voyager, DS9, and also TNG, why not? I mean, yeah, we didn't get a movie for Enterprise. That would be awesome, actually. I actually would like that. But I don't know. You know,
actually, that was another idea that I had. If this was going to be coming out in like 2004 or 5, why not have some kind of involvement for the NX-01 crew or some elements from Enterprise? I mean, they were thinking at some point that there might be an Enterprise movie if it was successful, but unfortunately it wasn't successful enough to do that. But maybe one of the things I was thinking about was that for Q and Guinan, there was this conflict that they said went back, you know, 2 centuries, and that's around the time that Enterprise takes place. So maybe this conflict also in some way had something to do in the Enterprise era. So it would have been great to see that kind of involvement somewhere.
Yeah, it definitely wouldn't have to be Whoopi Goldberg. So you could have any actress you want, and you could save money to get Scott Bakula on. Awesome. Yeah. You know, it's really hard to think of, I guess, another TNG movie, only because they're always like, it's always like politics of, like, obviously, like, resources with Insurrection, obviously, the two Picards, basically one surviving, the other one's trying to annihilate the other, in Nemesis. And then, of course, Generations is obviously, someone trying to get basically to the Fountain of Youth or at least that's how it played out to me. But like, and then of course, First Contact, can never forget First Contact. That one's a pinnacle one, but like, think of it now. I mean, they kind of, I don't know what kind of stories they would have. I mean, yeah, we would have to incorporate the Titan. It would definitely have to have the Titan in it. I mean, because obviously we want to continue the timeline and whatnot. But like, I mean, I guess like, yeah, it would have to be like on the edge of space sort of thing. The Final Frontier, where there's, you know, they don't know exactly what's out there. Kind of like Beyond. Mm-hmm. Beyond was a great story, charting into unknown territory, because they didn't know what was happening and whatnot. And then what do you know? They destroy the Enterprise.
Yeah. But in thinking about ideas for the episode, it made me realize how difficult it is to come up with, you know, an idea for, let's say, a Star Trek movie. Because, you know, we may like some movies and not others, but even the ones that we don't like or that we think, you know, are might be bad movies, it still took a lot of work to get to that concept and to execute it. And I just got more appreciation for it in thinking about this, because, you know, I have some fragments of ideas, but how you would actually, you know, write a full movie around that or have that make sense or be something people would want to see is really difficult.
Yeah. Now, would we have how would we be able to get Worf back onto the show?
Well, I think in Nemesis they didn't even give an excuse; he was just kind of there. I think in the books it's not working out for him as an ambassador, so he decides to join the E again, and he becomes a first officer. But maybe you could take it in a different direction, and maybe Worf decides that he wants to serve aboard the Titan instead.
Ooh, I don't know if Amy would like that. That would mess up the Troy and Riker relationship, or at least she might be thinking about Worf. I mean, they have that love tension and all that kind of stuff, apparently.
You're right. Then it would be the love triangle ship. All right, scratch that. I don't know. Like in the books, he does become first officer aboard the Enterprise E after, you know, Riker becomes captain of the Titan. I've always been a little disappointed by that. Like, he could have been doing something else, or maybe, you know, really become comfortable being an ambassador after Deep Space Nine and continue doing that, or maybe have some kind of, mission or involvement on the Klingon homeworld. But, I mean, you could stick him in there as the first officer to put him in the movie, but it just seems like a step backward from being an ambassador.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that one, because when I used to play hardcore Star Trek Online, I remember seeing, I mean, some people consider it canon. I mean, I guess it is canon. I mean, obviously, because, you know, the books basically talk about it. But like in Star Trek Online, they obviously show him on the Klingon homeworld, and he's sitting there all alone, basically talking to himself, you know, regrets or something like that is what I remember. It would have been nice to like maybe launch a new book series for like talking about Klingon politics or even their history. I mean, something I don't know, like Tomb Raider-ish. I mean, not him in a suit, you know, like the Tomb Raider or anything like that, but like, you know, finding out mysteries and uncovering mysteries is what I mean.
Right.
But like, I agree that it was a step backwards for him. There could have been so many more stories. I mean, we hear a lot about Andoria and the Poison Chalice. We hear a lot about other cultures in all the other books now. And it's like, why not the Klingon Emperor? Why not? Let's dive into their history more. But like what I was thinking, like, so let's just say it's at the edge of space, but the only way to get there is go through Klingon space, and there's tensions going on right now, and they can't, you know, necessarily cross over, because the way the Titan got there, they went around Klingon space versus going straight through, right on through. So maybe that could be a way for we could keep Worf as the ambassador or an ambassador for the Klingon Empire, and that he needs, just like in All Good Things, that he has to be on board in order to in order for them to cross over.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's possible.
Yeah.
The other thing, as I was thinking about this, of course, the last Earl Grey episode I was on was about the episode Conspiracy with the parasites, and that's one of the things that they never followed up on. I thought it also might be an interesting idea if that signal that was sent at the end of the episode actually reaches whoever, you know, the parasites' homeworld or whoever's controlling them, and that they become a threat again. I mean, that happens in the books in Unity, but I'd probably want it to be a little bit different. Like maybe, of course, coming back to my favorite idea, Q and Guinan had some kind of involvement. Sorry, I'm trying to work this in because I really want to see that. Had some kind of involvement with these parasites, or maybe that it was a way for the Borg to try to kind of loosen up her homeworld, and that led to, you know, its being taken over, its destruction. It's just one of those things I want to work in like 20 different things. I don't know how many of them will work, but that's something that was never, you know, they never came back to that or what came of that, but it'd be interesting to have the origin of how they came to be, or how they came to be a threat, or maybe they're a threat, you know, once more.
You know, and I actually remember, or well, not remember, I edited the episode, but like, yeah, listening through it, it's very interesting to think about that kind of concept where, yeah, they sent the signal and everything, but a little creature, is willing or can take over the higher echelons of our command, or well, of Starfleet, that is. And it's, you know, I would love to see, like, maybe, man, this is going into Aliens. Maybe we could have, like, we could take a page from Aliens, and I know Lee will probably like this, but like they go in, let's say Mako's are reenacted again or something like that, and then let's say Guinan's in there and trapped in there, and she's and the Queen is able to talk versus snarl at you and everything, and yeah, I could totally see that. Yeah, I mean, it's a very interesting. I would have loved to seen more of that. And hearing you guys talking about it, you know, just makes me want to see it more and more. And I read the book that you were talking about, and it probably would have been better to. I don't know. I mean, I guess that you could do more in a book versus movies, because I mean it's more visual than anything else, and with a book at least you can get the feelings, you can like, go into those what's it called, like a text where you can hear their thoughts. What is that called? I know that's called something in writing, and I can't remember what it is. But anyway, so, you know, at least you can hear their thoughts and, you know, kind of like be in their head, as well as being in whatever character, maybe on Picard's head or something like that, what they're thinking. And, you know, I don't know. I think that. That's the trouble when I read books and then I watch the movie. It destroys the movie because it's like, I know what he's thinking. I know what he wants to do. And I feel like I enjoy more of it because I know what they're thinking. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You can go into so much more in a book. I mean, some of these Star Trek books are, you know, 300-400 pages or more, and it's impossible to put everything into a movie, even if you'd want to. It'd be way too long. So whenever you're taking something from a book into a movie, it's never going to be the same. You can't put the same kind of, you know, attention to all of those details and include all the things. Some things need to be cut or not explained, so it's usually not as satisfying. But I'm kind of curious, since you're talking about the books, is there something that, you know, that you've seen in the Trek novels that take place after Nemesis that you'd like to see in a fifth TNG movie?
I've said, okay, so before I say that, there's only one book that I've ever read that was almost exactly like the movie, and that was Jarhead. And with Jake Gyllenhaal, that movie was incredible.
Okay.
I read that book and I was in Iraq. And then when I watched the actual movie, it was like dead on. So anyway, so, that's actually the only book. So, where the book, you know, obviously, outdid the movie, which doesn't happen very often. Or, well, no, it happens often, but it's, yeah, it doesn't happen very often, vice versa. Or at least for me, it doesn't. So one of my favorite books that I absolutely quote a lot is Poison Chalice. I love that book. I don't know why. It's written extremely well, and I mean, I'm not a fast reader. I maybe read a 300-400 page book in probably a day or two, you know, depending on what I'm doing. I mean, not if I'm obviously sitting there you know, to read the whole entire thing, then yeah, it'd be a lot less than that.
I think that's like, fast. It usually takes me like a week to do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, okay. Well, then I'm fairly moderate because my wife, on the other hand, she can read through a 300-page book. I think, what was it? She can read on her Kindle a 300 or 400-page book in about 2 hours. And I don't know how she can do that.
Superpowers is all I can think of because I cannot do that.
Apparently, because yeah, I can't have her watch Star Trek all the time. But yet, when it talks about books, that's a whole different story. But like, so I would love to. So one of my favorite images from the Poison Chalice is I can't remember. I'm going to have to remember the name of the ship, or I think it's the Ventress or something like that. But like a Sovereign class starship comes out of warp and basically stops right in front of an Andorian warship. And Bashir and I can't remember who's he with, but he's with something. They're like in like this shuttle pod of some sort, basically that's warp capable, that can get to from Deep Space Nine to Andoria, because he wanted to get information to the Andorians that they have a cure for their
don't spoil too much for people that haven't read it.
Cure for their thing.
Okay.
Okay, there we go. So sorry if I'm, but yeah, it's one of those images that I absolutely love. I was like, I would love to see an Andorian warship come up and then a Sovereign class come up, and they're basically pointing at you or at each other. They're all pointing at each other, and it's like, oh wow. It's like, I mean, and then also on top of that, I love the description that they give when the Titan obviously goes to Earth, and Deanna and Riker are at some kind of cafe in San Francisco, and the way he describes it, I feel like I'm there. It's like wow. It's like, I mean, he talks about the smells, he talks about the conversation and everything, because they're there to solve a conspiracy. I'm not trying to spoil the book, but I'm just telling you guys should. I mean, I think it's James Swallow.
It is James Swallow.
Thank you. So James Swallow is just wow. He's incredible on how he describes his book. But like something like that, I love the whole entire you know, trying to figure out the disease and trying in all this whole conspiracy thing that's going on between the Federation and Andoria. excuse me. And I just would love to expand on something like that, or at least see that in screen, because I mean, just seeing in my head, it felt like a Deep Space Nine movie. Actually, well, I know it's off topic, it's not TNG, but like, yeah, that's what I mean. But it is, because I mean, it talks about conspiracy within our own Starfleet, or within the Federation and also Starfleet, that it's. It threatens to break up the whole entire thing. Maybe not break up completely, but enough to start a possible civil war. And something like that would be like a Romulan plot versus, you know, within our own government sort of thing. So I don't know, but that's one of my favorite books that I absolutely love. There are several other scenes I can think of, but like that's one of my favorites that I absolutely would love to see. So how about you?
Well, no, just going off of that, actually, you know, it's possible if you had like a fifth TNG movie, you could move up all of that stuff and have the Andorian crisis be the kind of big thing that happens in the movie. I actually love that kind of subplot that takes place over the course of a number of books and, you know, kind of threatens the integrity of the Federation. But I mean, actually, something I haven't mentioned that I definitely would have loved to see in a movie is the Destiny trilogy, which is way, way too big for one movie. But it's
yes.
The most incredible crossover ever, because you know they have elements from Enterprise, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, Titan, And I think, yeah, they even have the Aventine, which is a great slipstream ship. That's my favorite ship, commanded by Ezri Dax. And the whole scope of the Destiny trilogy. Yeah, it's about the Borg, which has been done a lot before, but it is like the best story about the Borg that's ever been written. Actually, it talks about their origin, and it's just this huge sweeping tale. If there's anything that's happened in the books that I'd love to see in a movie, that would be it.
Yeah, I definitely. I agree. I totally agree. even some of the like Voyager books that have came out, and you know, with the fleet going back to the Delta Quadrant and everything, it's just so incredible. I mean, I don't know about you, dude, but when I read these books, I mean, it's like a brand new episode in my head. I mean, I enjoy them just as much as I do. I actually enjoy them more than the TV series.
Really?
But you know what I mean. Yeah. Because there's more to it.
there can be a lot to it, and some of it can be very cinematic. You know, especially something like the Destiny trilogy or the Kirsten Beyer Voyager books. It feels like everyone could be this just amazing movie. And I actually agree with you that, at least on Voyager, that what takes place in those books is actually better than the series overall. It's just incredible. I don't know if I would agree about that for some of the other series, but no. But I mean, the things that happen in these books that take place after Nemesis, some of them are just incredible and some of the best writing that you've ever seen. And I wish that a lot of them were movies, actually, or that they were able to, you know, get people. It is actually happening with Discovery. Kirsten Beyer is one of the writers, which is awesome. But the stories that are there are just an inspiration, and there's a bunch of them I wish were movies, actually.
So, spoiler alert on Deep Space Nine. What'd you think of the destruction of DS9?
That wasn't much of a spoiler alert. All right, now we're going off on a tangent, but...
No, I'm just curious. I'm just curious on what you thought of it, because I've met so many people that they just shut their books and just said, nope, I'm done.
I know some people had that reaction. It's fine. I mean, that's a whole intricate plot that had been building up for a while, but I think that's fine. I definitely prefer what the original Deep Space Nine looks like, but I actually like the design that they had for more of a Federation station that kept some of those elements. It didn't discourage me from reading. I was sad, but I definitely kept going, and I still love the DS9 books.
Yeah, obviously it was a good build up, but like, yeah, I was very sad. I was like, no.
I know. Well, it's a recurring thing in Star Trek. If there's something you love, it has to be destroyed. I'm surprised the Enterprise E is still going and hasn't been destroyed in the books in some way.
Don't say that. Knock on wood.
I know. But actually, the Enterprise E by this point in the books has been in service longer than the D, right? I think so.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but in Star Trek, ever since Star Trek 3, we like to, you know, destroy ships and stations, and
it makes great television.
It does. Well, and I admit, you know, even in Beyond, I was like, really, destroy the Enterprise again? But it actually worked really well for that. So
yeah, and I love that movie. I mean, you know what? And it's funny because recently there was a poll about which do you watch more than the original TOS movies, the TNG movies, or the new JJ Verse or Kelvin timeline. And, you know, honestly, I actually watch more of the Kelvin timeline ones because they are enjoyable. I mean, to me, they are. I mean, I don't know about everyone else. I do know about everyone else. A lot of people hate it. But like, I just think that I really think that they did a really good job. I mean, besides the lens flare stuff that they did during the first one and second one, that could have been done without, because that was annoying me. But otherwise, the whole entire story, all the stories were great. I absolutely loved them. And, you know, and that's what I was saying about the space station. It's like maybe something like you said, you know, maybe it could be like a space station blows up out in the middle of nowhere, a research space station, or gets invaded by, you know, the little dudes from
the parasites from dudes. Conspiracy.
Yeah, or at least instead they're not little dudes. They got like, I guess like carriers or something like that. That they get on their backs or something like that. You know, like a mother creature or something like that. But they're like xenomorphs or something like that. Again, we're going with aliens here. but like, you know, they're on their backs and everything, and they turn into like a sci-fi horror movie, I guess you could call it. But like in that, or at least that's how it starts.
Yeah. Well, in talking about the parasites and wondering, you know, how they actually take over people. I mean, I think the way they do it in Unity is just that. Well, that has its whole origin story, but they find a way to take over the right people, and then they spread it and take over other people. But I don't know. I just wanted to see something with those parasites to kind of continue the story on the big screen, or have some kind of origin, or maybe, you know, make a connection like what was originally supposed to happen, where the Borg were actually controlling them to try to soften up Earth or the Federation for invasion. But I mean, I guess so we've talked about this for a while and gone around on some different ideas. I mean, do you like my idea of having, you know, Q and Guinan be an important part of the movie, or do we go something
else?
Oh,
no, I do. Yeah. Oh, I totally do. If it would work, yeah, I would love to see something like that happen between those two, because, yeah, like you said, there's not much about Guinan. There needs to be some kind of origin, or at least if they were like, if hindsight's 2020, you would think that they would do an origin episode in those seven seasons of TNG, and then do something in a movie that would like call back to that episode. Mm-hmm. Or at least that would be great to do something like that. And yeah, I mean, because we've seen enough of Q. We saw in Voyager that their world is in a metaphor is a continuous highway.
Right.
So, and really, they don't really talk about their origins either. They say they're from the beginning of time in the universe, supposedly. So I don't know how that works. If there was, you know, like an atom or something like that to start the world or start the universe. But like, maybe it was them. Maybe they were playing pool and, that's what they were doing. That's how
you
what started our universe. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They were playing pool.
I think if I remember reading right, like the Voyager episode where they introduced the Omega molecule, I think there's some kind of speculation that it's because of something that came about at the Big Bang. And if it's something that's responsible for this other continuum, like the Omega continuum at the start of the Big Bang, maybe they've had this whole, you know, adversarial relationship or warfare between them since the beginning of time. And we're just going to start seeing that in a movie. I'd like to see something like, you know, another continuum or some powerful beings that can be real adversaries for the Q continuum. We see it in some of the books, but we've never seen anything like that on screen. When Q's there, or the Q continuum, there's always this internal conflict between different members of the continuum, but there's not really like an adversary that can take them on.
Yeah, exactly. Like they're the top of the food chain.
That's what they like
literally
to think of themselves. Yeah.
Yeah, considering we don't see them really consume anything, but that's okay. Energy. They consume energy.
Yep.
But, you know, I agree. Definitely, I would love to see a background story of Guinan. I would love to see, you know, maybe they were past lovers.
Q and Guinan?
Yeah, why not?
Ooh, hadn't thought about that. See, I always thought of it as Guinan and Picard being past lovers at some point.
No, I get that. I'm just saying, like, if she's like 700 or 800 years old,
yeah,
and obviously Q is, you know,
billions of years old, maybe.
Yeah, whatever. You know, yeah, timeless. There you go. You know, I would assume that, you know, he looked the same as he did back then, and maybe he turned on the charm to her back then, and maybe that was the reason why she got out of the Borg invasion, because he knew about it and he didn't tell her, and that's the reason why she's mad at him. and maybe he gave her powers to, oh, wow. Okay. So here we go. So maybe he gave her some kind of a part of his power or something like that. Maybe he's not all powerful. Mainly because he can, the rest of the continuum can take his powers and whatnot when he's mischievous. And part of his powers were transferred over to her because they were past lovers or whatever. Or maybe there was some kind of like regret that he wished that he could give her something. And instead of giving her whole entire planet back and having the Borg reverse what they were doing, maybe what they, maybe that power is basically a, he gave her the everlasting life in a sense, and now she lives forever.
So she can live that long, but other Elorians can't.
Right.
Huh. I hadn't thought about that.
I don't know. I mean, I could probably keep going, but but like, I guess that would probably explain the whole why they don't like each other anymore. Because she regrets, going with him when she really wanted to be with her family and all that. That's if some of her family survived. I don't know. Because we don't hear about another Elorian that lives that long, do we? Or is Dr. Sorin?
I don't know.
Lived that? No,
I don't know if they talk about Sorin living quite that long, do they? I mean, he clearly lives for a while between the first events in Generations and then later in the movie, but it's a good question. We do see an Elorian in Deep Space Nine, though, in the episode Rivals, the one where the guy competes with Quark with his magic gambling machine. But I don't think we really just don't know much about them as a species or how long they live or how things work for them at all. So definitely like to learn more.
We could definitely go on for days for that one. But that one makes more sense to me. All right. So listeners, when this episode drops, let us know what your opinions are. What would you like to see in a fifth TNG movie or sixth, seventh, or however many you want to make? We'll come back and we'll bring Justin on. We'll bring Amy and we'll bring Leon as well. And we'll all mesh this story all together and see if we can come up with a really good TNG movie. Because based on what we've been talking about, it sounds like we're going to come up with a really awesome movie. It's going to be expensive, but budgets are not, money is not a factor.
Yeah.
So we'll definitely have to do that.
That's no problem, because also part of Amy's temporal incursion was dropping off a boatload of money at Paramount in 2002 so they could make a gigantic fifth movie.
Or tell them to sit on it, let it, like sit in some kind of bank account or something like that and let it grow. Inflation. Come on.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Hello, Earl Grey listeners. I really want to strip the Next Generation fifth movie down to really the bare bones. And that's kind of where I want to go with it. I want to focus on a couple of characters in the story. Like, the Enterprise has never really felt like a character in the Next Generation movies, and I want to take it away. Likewise with the crew, from Troy to Crusher, and nearly everyone in between but Picard and Data, with the rest often reduced to comic relief or cameos in their own series. I really think like a pared down Next Generation movie would really make it stand aside. And the idea I've gone with will be something that takes place 16 years after Nemesis, just in real time, just like the real time that's passed as well. And I like to see the movie focused on Picard and Worf, a certainly older pairing of Picard and Worf, though I'm pretty sure Patrick Stewart never ages. So the movie opens a few years after Nemesis, and we see the Next Generation crew reunited at the annual war memorial to honour the dead and remember the Dominion War. We pass through the crowd and see cast members from the Next Generation, Deep Space Nine and Voyager, and many familiar faces in fleeting shots as the Federation president gives a speech. Then there's a large explosion and mass panic, screaming and terror. We are disorientated and the camera is being pulled all around the carnage. Riker, Troy, Crusher and LaForge are killed. Picard and Worf look stunned and covered in blood and ash from the attack. It's now 10 years later. Picard and Worf have long left their roles behind from Starfleet and the Klingon High Council. Picard and Worf reflect on their memories and feel just melancholy as they remember their crew members on the anniversary of their death. The origin and reasoning of the bombing has remained unknown, but Worf has received intel from an old contact, Ro Laren, that the bombing was ordered by Garak, who lives deep within Cardassian space and works for the Klingon government, the Cardassian government. The Federation will not be able to act upon this information, so they decide to go rogue. Worf and Picard begin a journey deep into Cardassian space to hunt down Garak, and they enlist Wesley Crusher to help them navigate the detection grids and use his computer skills to find Garak. I really see this part being a bit of a kind of road trip movie. Something really where the crew are, you know, the pairing of Worf and Picard, and with the addition of Crusher, really kind of reflecting on the next generation and kind of the characters. We see too often Picard's reduced to action hero kind of status in these movies. I don't want to see that. I want to see a thoughtful Picard. I want to see one that's thinking, always a few steps ahead. And as the three make their way to Cardassia to hunt down, capture or execute Garak, they arrive on Cardassia and they manage to get Garak alone, probably some sort of like hooking up his shuttlecraft to make it think that he's got to go here or there and something along those lines. I'm not an action writer or any sort of writer, so I'll let someone fill that one in. But they manage to divert his shuttle and get him alone. Worf begins to torture Garak for information, but he's still the master of deception and gives little away. Worf struggles not to plunge his Klingon knife into the heart of Garak as he toys with him and then taunts him about Jadzia's death. Picard tries to hold back and restrain Worf, but the rage inside him takes place and he wipes off his head. But then Garak's body then turns to flames as it's revealed that he's been possessed by the Pa'arath spirit of Dukat, dun dun dun, who has returned from hell, from the hell-like conditions he's been trapped in. And Dukat has been going from body to body to try and sow revenge among the Federation and those who have worked against him. To be continued. Maybe I'll get John Logan or Brandon Braga, Ronald D. Moore to help me put together a wee ending there, but I really want to sort of, you know, that kind of movie where it's a simple idea and its focus is not so much an action movie, but it's about reflection and really using just a couple of the elements of the Next Generation movie and really making a drama out of it. I can see it almost being similar in a way to something like Logan, for example, I suppose another Patrick Stewart movie, and really kind of going down the river, as it were, kind of a simple story and tell it well and really highlight the drama, as opposed to kind of turning it into the sci-fi action movies we often got with the Next Generation series. Hope you like my idea, and thanks to Justin and Richard for their ideas. Bye.
Talking about the fifth TNG movie isn't the only thing we've been talking about here on the network. Here's a preview of what else you might have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, The Orb.
When Lieutenant Saru says, "I sense the coming of death," they could be playing "Staying Alive, Staying Alive" in the background.
They're like, "Whatever, man. BG Sam, staying alive.
We're staying alive. Aren't you listening to the sound system on this bridge?
Man, your bell bottoms too tight, boy."
That would be awesome if they had bell bottoms on the Discovery uniforms.
Meta Treks.
Garak really personifies that snake-like way of kind of slithering around in the shadows, more subtle than any other character in the Star Trek universe.
Plain simple Garak would be the first to say that the clothes make the Cardassian.
Primitive Culture, a look at history and culture through Star Trek.
This episode was actually banned by the BBC for many years, and they always said, I don't know if this is true, not so much because of the kind of allegorical significance of the episode, but because of this single line in it where Data says, he basically says, oh, well, you know, the IRA basically achieved what they wanted in, I think, 2024.
Yeah.
You know, it's coming up.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all of these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcast. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcast on iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they are published. And please leave us a star rating and written review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Speaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, in most third-party apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link. We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's shows, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best places to join the larger conversation is in the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it should come right up. We love interacting with our listeners there, so join the conversation. If you'd like to send us an email, we love those too. You can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and select Earl Grey. That will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at trekfm and on Facebook at facebook.com/trekfm. If you'd like to help keep all the shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more, available through our special patrons website, Patron Zone. It's requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all that details at patreon.com/trekfm.
Well, as always, we thoroughly enjoy you coming on to the show. I appreciate you coming on to the show, Justin. Every time you come on, it's very informative, and you kick my butt every time when it comes to trivia and everything else and background on it, and I thoroughly enjoy it. But we definitely learned in editing the episodes when I'm not there. It's very enjoyable to hear you on the show. But if anyone would like to talk to you about anything Star Trek, where can they find you?
Well, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at TrekFan4747, where I tweet about nothing but Star Trek, and I'm currently tweeting about my TNG Season 2 rewatch, and you can find me hanging around the Babel Conference on Facebook.
And you guys can find me on Twitter. My handle is XRansom. I haven't started on SG1 yet. I've been busy. For some reason, the last ship has been my show right now. but you guys can also find me on Facebook. I pop in here and there on the Babel Conference. Caused a little trouble here and there, but that's okay. Join us for another cup of Earl Grey.
Great joy and gratitude.
Today is a good day to die.